The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself in the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen. You should all know that Bailey is keeping count. I hope you notice the contours of today's gospel perfectly parallel the movements of our worship. We gather together, some of us traveling a distance. Jesus is with us, accompanying us on our way, interpreting scriptures not as a collective of dead stories or deadening rules, but as the promise of God's indelible love for us all. We stop to share our disappointments and despair. We call those things intercessions here. Arriving at the table, Jesus reveals himself, makes himself known to us in the breaking of the bread. Once fed, Jesus sends us out to proclaim to all the joy of God's resurrecting love. We are, you see, always on the road to Emmaus. Every time we gather to celebrate the risen Christ, with Christ in our midst. But we are on the road to Emmaus in other ways too. Like Cleopas and that other disciple, we too have experienced disappointment in our lives. Now, disappointment comes in all sizes, big and small. Some can even be dramatically life-changing, huge communal disasters that affect many, many people in many different ways. Then there are those personal disappointments which happen only to you and can be themselves big or small. And these happen all the time. Hopes are dashed. Dreams go unfulfilled. We make plans for our future, and then, I'm standing here now, we prepare for a career, and the job market changes. An accident or an injury disrupts the life of an Olympian in the making. You make a wrong turn, or knock on the wrong door, or get in the wrong car, and disaster ensues. Disappointment is part of the human condition. None can escape it. And when disappointment is major, everything can change. It was that kind of major disappointment and can be themselves big or an injury disrupts the life of an Olympian in the making. You make a wrong turn, or knock on the wrong door, or get in the wrong car, and disaster ensues. Disappointment is part of the human condition. None can escape it. And when disappointment is major, everything can change. It was that kind of major disappointment that the disciples were discussing on the way to Emmaus. They told the one who joined them, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." We had hoped. Those words are full of sorrow. Cleopas and that other disciple, and probably all of the followers of Jesus, had believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the one whom God had appointed, God had promised to place upon the throne of his ancestor David, the king of Israel. They had an image in their mind of what that would be like. And crucifixion was not it. As yet, they did not understand that the suffering servant that the prophet Isaiah talked about was to be the same person as the Davidic Messiah. They hadn't put things together yet. It had to be explained to them as they walked along the road, eyes downcast for sorrow, but listening attentively as their hearts burned within them. We had hoped that he was the one. That hope had led them to leave the life they were living to follow Christ. They left their families, their jobs, their homes, everything. They believed they were taking a path that would lead to greatness. They intended to be part of the action, to be known as friends of the long-awaited King of Israel. They had dreams of power and glory and honor and the respect and admiration of all the people. Remember the story of James and John arguing over who would sit at Jesus' right or left hand when he came into power? They had visions of grandeur. Now it all seemed like a delusion. They felt tricked. Where was the revolution? Where was the glory? How could they be so wrong? And so these two disciples found themselves at a loss, wondering what to do next. They were overwhelmed with grief, under the spell of death, walking through the dark valley. Their world turned upside down. They didn't understand why. It's no wonder they didn't recognize Jesus on the road with them. All they could see was death, disappointment. All they could feel was grief. Too often we find ourselves on that road to Emmaus, hopes dashed, dreams dissolved, walking through the valley of the shadow. But take heart, for Jesus walks with us. Just as surely as Jesus walked with Cleopas and that other disciple. Walking with us, Christ invites us to plunge deeper into the depths of God's promises, the center of the Holy Scriptures, to understand more clearly what God is up to in our lives. Take heart. You and I are on the road to Emmaus. At this very moment. And we do not walk alone. Jesus walks with us, as well as all the company of the saints and the whole community of believers. We travel this road together so that we can support each other along the way. We lift each other up when one of us falls. We carry those who cannot any longer walk. We welcome everyone into our midst, without exception. We place no limits. Our boundaries expand to include all who are on that way. We are a community on the move. And where does the road lead? To the risen Christ, who eagerly greets you and me and all on the way. Along the way, Jesus helps us make sense of our disappointments, both big and small. Christ shows us the way forward out of disappointment into hope and life. For this reason, Jesus died and now lives, to be our hope, our dream, our future come true now. Jesus reveals himself to us in the breaking of bread and in the cup of salvation. Jesus feeds us with his own body and blood. Jesus is our most basic nourishment for survival in a world filled with disappointment and shattered dreams. Fed and nourished, whole and well and strong, Jesus sends us out into the dark valley where the shadow of death looms, large and threatening. Jesus sends us out to gather more of God's beloved ones to walk with us on this wonderful road to Emmaus, a road that leads to abundant life for all. Very nice to have said all this. I have an unfortunately departed close friend who said it simpler and better. His name was Marcus Borg, and at one point in my life, we were going to change positions. He was going to go to New York and be the theologian in residence for 6 weeks, and I was going to go to Seattle and be the pastor in residence at the Episcopal Cathedral there. And then the Great Recession happened. He puts it all this way, easy to remember. He said, Emmaus didn't happen. Emmaus always happens. And I can add to that, Emmaus always happens here. So, alleluia,
Christ is risen.
Amen.